Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Family fun time this 4th of July weekend. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 6th and 7th. Crabbing, great, great family time. Clamming, great, great family time. The crabbing, but those things are, they're just chewing their claws. They're all over the place. Clamming on the flats has been good. Remember, no recreational clamming on a Sunday. On the fishing front, plenty of flounder in the back. Outside, these 3 weeks of southwest winds, whatever they were, that chilled down that water, made it damn cold. Hopefully that's changing. Water warming out front, still plenty of flounder in the back. Find them more tossums than keepers, but they are out there. Remember, 3 at 18 inches. Back to the clamming is great as well. Clamming is a lot of fun. You got the top necks, the little necks, whatever, the cherry stones. No recreational clamming on a Sunday. That goes back to, I don't know how many years ago. Why? I have no idea. Conservation measure. Give them a day off or what have you. On the freshwater front, man, bass, pickerel, crappies, channel cats, the bite is on. It's a great weekend coming up. But speaking about bass, our next two segment, ribbit, frogging time coming up. Big bass out there. Frogs are how to get them. So grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Oh, don't forget. Second annual Doormat Derby coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to have more on that also. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. A lot of stuff to do. Still have a couple of days to do it. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted display, social media marketing, the latest in SEM and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We're looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. The right career choice is all about timing, and right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing, with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It's early, but it's ribbit time. Ribbit, as in frogs, as in frog and largemouth, and the snakeheads as well, but frog and largemouth. Actually, a couple of weeks early, I return the return guest, Lane L., former longtime president of South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Club, current vice president of South Jersey Bass Club Association, local and regional competitive bass tournament angler. Lane was on a few weeks ago talking transition. We are now talking frogging time. You'll get bass this way. Don't get me wrong. That's the way I do. You toss out and you cast it. You don't throw it. You throw a ball. But that's my thing. I'm a word guy. Cast that frog out, run across the weeds, you make it a fish. There are nuances to it. There are some tricks, what to look for, when to do it. Color of frogs, does that make a difference? I don't know. And the tackle to use. Saw a guy out there frogging once, had a night, it's like you flush a toilet bowl at Eagle Stadium, like, whoom! A guy was using 20-pound mono. That bass was going nowhere. Anyway, we're going to get into that another segment. Lane is joining us on the line right now to talk summertime frogging. Lane, I know it's a little bit early as we discussed, but those weeds are up, man. They are, especially the South Jersey shallow relics. It is frogging time, my brother.
Yes, it is, Tom P. How are you doing? It's great to be on the show. How's the lovely Dee Marie?
Lovely Dee Marie. She's ready to do her frog and all. She took the bow out. It's after June 21st, the solstice. So it's just daylight's getting shorter. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Lane, we're looking for a great summertime of frog. We want to get more into the snakeheads further south. Again, frogging's the number one thing down here. Well, how to get these things. Actually, people are, they're so cool in their fierceness and ugliness. And believe it or not, they taste pretty good. Caught a few, but we're going to get into that a little later. But Lane, for the bass time to frog, the pads are up, the weeds are up, the frogs are out. The bite is how, man, with this hot water. I don't know, Lane, picking the times for the frog, and what's the dealio?
We're midsummer conditions with this early heat wave that we had this year.
Yep.
Like you said, everything is up. The pads are up. The slop is up. It is weedy out there. Some of the lakes are hard to even get through with a trolling motor. So now is definitely prime time frogging time. If you're looking to catch a big bass in the middle of summer with the water temperatures in the 70, 80 degree range, you want to be frogging. And Jersey has some great frog lakes. So now's the time to get out there with your frog and start throwing it.
Lane, you're walking down. Shout out to Blackwater Sporting. It's Jeff and the whole crew out there. You're walking to most South Jersey tackle shops out, Cumberland, Salamander, loaded with bass tackle. We have great bass fishing down here in Central Jersey and further south. Again, like I said, but Lane, you look at these pegboards and most shops, there's myriad choices of frogs, sizes, shapes, colors, hollow body frogs. I'm from the ancient school. We know that. I'm still, conditions permitting, I'm still a Mr. Twister hog frog guy. Hog frog, however they call it. But you look at the Spro frogs, this frog, that frog. Lane, what do you, again, the hollow body frogs, and it seems, and you go on Facebook to the bass sites, there's new frogs coming out every time. And you can fill, Lane, you can fill a minivan with them. Paring it down, Lane, for the South Jersey waters that you fish in. Also, I know you're down the flats and whatever. What do you basically keep it to?
I like to keep it simple. I like the smaller to medium-sized frogs versus those big giant frogs, but they do work too. They have a time and place. But during the day, when sun is up, bright blue skies, I like to fish a smaller profile frog, give them something that will bounce off the pads really nice and come through the weeds really good. That is what I like to throw. Now, if I'm throwing a frog at nighttime, I'm going to go with the biggest frog I can find. I'm going to go with a black frog, a dark green frog, anything like that. I'm going to go large profile because I want to make a little bigger commotion with what I'm throwing at in at night. But during the day, I'm going to downsize a little bit and throw a little bit of a smaller frog. I'm going to throw that on braid, 100% braid. I'm not going to throw it with fluoro or mono. When you're frog fishing, you don't want any stretch in that line. You want to be able to set that hook and bring that frog in, and braid is the best way to do that.
Because you're gonna cut those stems, right? I mean, and get it through. Because mono ain't gonna do it, man. Fluoro ain't gonna do it. No.
And you want to use a heavy line. People always say to me, like, why are you using 65-pound test line when you're catching a 3-pound bass? Well, it's not about the size of the bass that you're worried about. It's the amount of the size of the slop that you're bringing in with that bass and what you're bringing that frog through to get to that bass. So you need heavy line, heavy equipment to be able to work the stuff that you're throwing that frog into. I mean, you're looking for the worst possible stuff. You're looking for thick lily pads. You're looking for overhangs that have branches and things sticking down, stuff that you cannot get a normal bait into,
right,
is where you want to throw a frog.
Lane, the hollow body frogs versus like the more solid body frogs, and also, Lane, I want to get to color. I've always been a match the hats, do the realistic thing, until I started to use, you see them in chartreuse, you see them in yellow spots, you see there's even orange frogs out there, but it's always, to me, the constant was always a white belly, a white bottom. Bass looks up, he sees a white, like when you're using a pork frog on a spoon. Yes, people, I'm that old, I still use that. not so much a pork rind anywhere if you could find it. But Lane, then a guy turned me on to, maybe it was you, I forget who it was. You know me, Lane, my memory shot. An all black frog. And also an all black rat. Get to that later. And Lane, it was lights out, man. Like I said, I thought these bass would be more into the, that doesn't look like a profile and retrieve, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I never understood is the top of a frog. The people shop frogs by the top, and a bass never sees the top of a frog.
Yeah.
I'm worried about what the belly looks like, not the top of the frog. You know, unless a bass is jumping out of the water and diving down on a frog, he'll never see the top of a frog. I like white belly frogs. Most frogs in nature have a white belly. I like to take a Sharpie and put a couple dots on that white belly just to give it some contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a pro tip for you right there. I also like a pointed nose frog versus a popping frog if you're fishing through slop.
Why is that?
The popping frogs, if you're fishing through slop, will get caught up.
Gather, yeah.
They won't work right. They won't walk very well. Popping frog is for open water frogging, or if you're fishing over submerged weed beds or something like that, then you want to throw a popping frog. But otherwise, you want a V-neck frog front, something that'll come through really clean and not get hung up on anything.
But Lane, like you said, the popping type frog does have a place in the game. There's a little lake off the park. I'm going to say where, but it's in Southern Ocean County, going into Burlington County. Lane, there's actually alleyways in like the milfoil or bladderwort, whatever that stuff is down there, and Lane, especially towards evening, that's a game changer in those openings.
Oh, yeah. If you have a place, like I said, it's an open water frog.
Yeah.
So if you have a place that you can throw it without having instructions, without having anything in its way, you can sit there and pop it, and it's a great, great weapon for that kind of cover. But if you're going into the cover, you don't want a popping frog. You want something that's going to nose its way through, look very clean. And then when you get to an opening in the lily pads or whatever you're throwing, pause it for a little bit, let it sit there, move it a little bit, and that's when you usually get this big, giant blow-up.
And that's it. Listen, join us online is Lane L., a regional and local bass tournament angler, former president of the South Jersey Kayak Bass Fishing Association, current vice president, South Jersey Bass Anglers Association. We're talking frogging up against a break. Let me get back a little more on some technique. Then I want to get to the tackle again. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Lane L is in the house. Sort of.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet Points.
I'm Eben Brown. Second Amendment supporters surely enjoyed the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the Cargill case, which ruled the ATF had no power to make bump stocks illegal through administrative rulemaking, that Congress needed to pass legislation. And now they might also be celebrating a win in the Loper Bright Enterprises case, which once again undoes the power of bureaucracies by not requiring courts defer to them. The original case here has nothing to do with firearms or firearms owners' rights, but the Firearms Policy Coalition had filed an amicus brief to the High Court, arguing that deferring to federal agency rules violated the U.S. Constitution. And now, in light of the court's decision, there is a good question as to how the ATF's power could be limited now that the courts don't have to go with what such an agency says to do, an agency especially often accused of partisanship. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Barry Manilow.
Looks like we made
the record-breaking residency in New York City.
Copacabana.
Barry Manilow. 5 more shows added this fall. See him performing all the hits for 5 nights at Radio City Music Hall, October 9th through Sunday, October 13th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy 4th of July weekend, July 6th and 7th. 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. 4-day weekend coming up. We're in the studio because we're going to vamoose. We're going to hit the road. We're talking ribbit time, frogging time with Lane L. Now, Lane, one thing, I see all the bass, the frog imitations, rather, and I have a box full of them. Use some. The other ones I just sort of look at. How do I use this? Lane, you see now, it's been a while, years now. Some swear by the silicone legs. They're like a skirt as opposed to actual legs. We've had luck with both. Your preferences and why? And do you do any customization?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer the silicone legs versus the real legs. They both work. It's a lot of just what you're comfortable in fishing. With the silicone legs, I can shorten one of the legs. I normally take it out of the box and clip one about a quarter inch shorter than the other side. So this way, when I'm working it through pads or a little bit of open water, I can give it that kind of walk the dog, that side to side motion a little better when one of the legs is shorter than the other.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a really good trick. Like I said, it just gives this frog a little easier wobble to it. Something makes it look a little more natural, a little more possibly even injured. So it looks like an easy target for a bass while mm-hmm. you're checking it out from underneath. Like I said, the only other customization I really do to my frogs is, like I said earlier, the white belly. I like to put a couple black dots on there just to give it some contrast through coming through the water. I feel that gives it just a little more of a natural look. Like I said, the bottom is more important than the top of a frog, in my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do a whole lot of customizations. I know some guys add some trailer hooks and things
right,
like that.
Right, I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, so, yep.
Yeah, the more you add on to it, the more stuff that's going to get stuck in the weeds and whatever you're throwing at. And I find it more of a nuisance than it does help. I mean, if you're buying a good quality frog, a KVD or a Spro or something like mm-hmm. that, the hooks are going to be good and they're going to be really good. They're going to be really sharp right out of the box. Trim one of the legs a little bit and tie it on to, 50-pound braid on and cast it out there and bring it in and wait for something to blow up on it.
Lane, now I've seen the guys, and we do ourselves, we vary the retrieve slow, so on a pad stop, out in the little, let it sit, let it sit. And other times we've had success just swimming it, like over the top, and give it a like four or five handles, or stop it only for a couple of seconds and go. And we've had success of both. Predicated on water temperature and thickness of cover, both retrieves work. What do you prefer when, again, it's 95 degrees out, a guys our size could basically walk on a cover. What are you doing then?
Typically the hotter the water temperature and the air temperature is, the almost slower you want to move it. Bass are, cold-blooded, so they're gonna, when it gets this hot out, they're gonna be a little less, little lethargic, so you wanna be able to give them a meal that they can get easy. But then there's those other times where you just speed it along the pads and something blows up on it. It's really gonna be trial and error on that day to see what they want. I always start out slow and just keep picking up the pace until I figure out what kind of cadence they're looking for that day. That's very finicky.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to ask you, ever have to go into your bag of tricks on heavily pressured waters like we had, like Union or Parvin, Lenape, for example, Rainbow, Alloways, where these bass, they see a lot of bass, they see a lot of frogs. I mean, is there something that you're like, oh, man, I know they're here, I know they're going to eat frogs, and you really have to reach deep down and try something different? Have you had occasion like that?
There's really not a whole lot of bag of tricks when you're talking frogs.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic and straightforward. The main thing is just figuring out the cadence. What are they looking for? Where are they in the pads? Are they deep in the pads? Are they on the side, on the outline of the pads? Because bass will set up differently in the pads at different times. Sometimes they'll be at the edges. Sometimes they're at the edges and they're hunting something that's coming by the pads. And sometimes they are deep in the pads and they're just in there relaxing, or they're looking for a frog meal, or, you know, something else that's up really super shallow in those pads. But you'll find a pattern that particular day. If you normally find a couple frogs up deep, or a couple bass up deep in the middle of those pads, that's probably where they're going to be, the majority of them. But if you find them on the edges, stay on those edges, because that's where they're set up today. You know, they move back and forth. So, you know, again, frogging is a lot of trial and error and cadence and just figuring out where they are and what they want that particular day.
Like those blow-ups, so they're something. Although, listen, one of my most memorable, God, had to be back way back in the 80s, most memorable Laying rid of a lily pad infested lake, real cool, Glacier Lake. It was up in North Jersey, you know, shouting the deepest part was maybe 5 feet, 6 feet, you know, the rocks and boulders and a whole bit. And listen, not talking bass, this pickerel came out of the water lane like it was shot out of a sub, missile tube. I mean, straight up and out, you know, bit the frog off the line. We were using mono back then, braid wasn't around. But listen, the surface tank of a bass is just a huge implosion. Lane, before I let you go, we're up against a hard break here. One last thing about size. You mentioned, you know, there's the big frogs, the small frogs. Listen, you're going to see frogs. You're going to see toads, like the smaller ones. Are there conditions, Lane, when you could figure the bass, again, elephants eat peanuts too. Big bass may want a smaller mouthful. For example, the water's real hot. Their metabolism isn't really churning that much. When you will choose a smaller frog as opposed to a bigger one, medium size or larger?
Not particularly. I mean, a bass is very opportunistic. They're going to eat whatever coming over their head, whatever size it is. It's a lot on personal preference. I know guys that fish small frogs and that's all they ever fish because that's what they're comfortable in throwing.
Mm-hmm.
I know guys that fish giant frogs because that's what they're comfortable in throwing. So it's really going to be a matter of personal choice on what you like to throw as far as size go. I like to stay somewhere right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like to throw a giant frog and let them night fishing. And I don't throw a small frog that often because I feel like I just can't cast it as far.
Mm-hmm.
So I like kind of those medium-sized frogs. One really important tip I forgot to mention when frog fishing is when you get a bite frog fishing, do not set the hook right on the commotion. It might be the hardest thing in fishing to do is not setting the hook when you see an explosion on a frog. But you need to let that bass get a chance to get that frog in its mouth, and you got to count to almost three. Like, you know, you see that mm-hmm. explosion on your frog and just resist wanting to yank back on it for about 3 seconds and then set the hook like it's nobody's business.
There you go.
But if you set the hook right away when you see that explosion, 90% of the time you're going to pull that frog right out of its mouth and you'll never get bit.
Lane, before we let you go, real quickly, a frogging alternative, rats on the mat. You see the rat lures and the mice lures, and we had success with them when, maybe I was doing it the wrong way, but of course, it's Tom P. The frogging wasn't working, and we caught fish on rats. Are they a viable alternative, in your opinion, in this summer season, on the weeds, on the stumps, you know, around all that cover?
Yeah, rats are very viable. It depends a lot on the location where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fishing lakes that are in a very urban area where there might be a lot of mice and rats, then by all means, there was one day I was fishing Newton Creek out in Camden County there.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't getting bit on anything. And I talked to the guy that ended up winning the tournament that I was in that particular day. And he was throwing a mouse, a small white mouse, close to the bank, and he was just destroying them.
There you go.
when nobody else could get bit on anything else. So, yeah, there is a time and a place. And, again, it's match to hatch. If there's mice and rats in that particular area,
give it a shot, man.
For a rat.
Yeah. Hey, Lane, before I let you go, give us a little lowdown on the South Jersey Bass Club Association. Any kayak tournaments specific coming up in the near future?
We have a tournament coming up. We don't have the dates exactly on me. Go to the sjkbfc.com website. Our schedule is listed on there. I know we have a couple opens coming up later on in the year.
Beautiful.
So we welcome people to come on out and try kayak fishing. We've been getting great turnouts this year.
It's been a
fantastic year.
Hey, congratulations on that first place win recently, bro.
Yeah, it was nice. I fished four tournaments so far this year, and I've placed in the money on all four. And
there
the last tournament on Alloway Lake, I got a win, so that was nice to get a win.
You give him L, is what I say. You give him L. Lane, you take care, brother. Best of the lovely Michelle Olive and the Ladybug, my brother. We'll see you on the water.
Always great talking to you, Tom.
Take care, man. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
The Bass Man, Lane L. Up against the break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
In a world full of fake news, AI, and unverified information on social media, where can you get the latest, most accurate South Jersey news? WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Don't wait for the newspaper to come in the mail. The WPG Talk Radio app is updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Accurate, dependable, reliable. When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. In an exclusive interview with ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos, President Biden downplaying his poor debate performance during the CNN presidential debate and subsequent calls to exit the race.
It's a bad episode. No indicators of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and I had a bad night.
President Biden campaigning in Wisconsin on Friday said, "I am running and gonna win again." Northeastern New Mexico, southeastern Texas preparing for Tropical Storm Beryl's impact Sunday night into Monday. Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth says Beryl may regain status as a Category 1 hurricane.
Now it's going to be back over the warm water, and we'll see if it starts to get its act back together, maybe get that center very consolidated again. Our forecast does anticipate that that is going to happen.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather for South Jersey. For today, more clouds and sun, very hot and humid with a thunderstorm in parts of the area. Thunderstorms can bring flash flooding and localized damaging wind gusts with a high of 96. Tonight, a thunderstorm in spots, clouds breaking, very humid. Thunderstorms can bring flash flooding and localized damaging wind gusts. Low 74. Tomorrow hot with a mix of clouds and sun with a high of 96. I'm Mackie Weathers, Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy 4th of July weekend, 6th and 7th. Full disclosure, we are in the Town Square Media Studios here, Broadcast Center. Early in the week, because me and the lovely Dee Marie are going to be out and about. We'll be in the confines of the Garden State for 4 days. But, man, we are just everywhere. The opportunities avail in the Garden State, whether you're crabbing, whether you're fishing. Just love it. But I'll tell you, when you get down towards Cumberland County, especially, or Cape May. I love Cape May. Down there again this past week. Those greenheads. Listen, people, I'm from the 60s. I'll drink DDT if it keeps the greenheads off me and the horse flies and those little orange head delta wing deer flies. They'll light you up like a Roman candle when they drill. And they always go to your back. The greenheads go low, right? These are things always go for your back or shoulders, through your freaking clothing. Give me the DEET. Give me the DEET. My opinion, people, my opinion, no indoors or whatever, this natural stuff, you know, with the neem oil, blah, 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 the ticks and all, but supposed to cut offs or whatever, it may work for a while, short while. You have to reapply it, especially, man. Go down by Mad Horse Creek, down by Dividing Creek, and down Seven Bridges Road, a.k.a. Great Bay Boulevard in Tuckerton. And natural stuff ain't working, man. Give it maybe, I'd say at the best 5 minutes at that, and you're going to need a transfusion. But I digress. When you get out of there, make sure you're covered up. You got the ticks out there. You got the chairs. Don't take the ticks, people, seriously, lightly. I mean, they have some, the toxoplasmosis, the Lyme disease, the babesiosis, the ehrlichiosis. Skeeve me out. I don't mind yellow jackets, hornets, wasps, ants. You know what you're dealing with. These things are special, even the greenheads. These things, the ticks, I took one off me the other day. Thank God, no problem with it. That something in their spit and their saliva could debilitate you for the rest of your life. Do not take them lightly. They may have a brand out there because that's the most popular one, Sawyer, and get the stuff for the clothes and get the stuff for your skin. But I'm a DEET man through and through. And speaking of DEET and the marshes and where there going to still be some flounder hopefully coming up the next couple of weeks. We've been heavy on the fluke, but it is that time of year. We have the coming up, man. Oh, this is going to be the second annual. I'm too pumped. Rackman Radio is a sponsor. The second annual Doormat Derby presented by the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. The great, the famous, and sometimes infamous Jerry Vessels is going to be sponsored by the full sponsor Cape May Outboards, hosted by Off the Hook Marina. Mr. V, as he is greatly known, is on the Rack and Fin Law right now. Talk up the Derby a little bit and see what's happening. Second annual, this is going to be a big, it's going to grow exponentially. Had a good turnout last year. A little bit of a timing thing. This year, it's earlier, it's in July, and it is going to kick some butt. Jerry Vessels, how are you?
Tommy P, good morning, brother man.
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock. By the way, listeners, Jerry and the lovely Mrs. Vessels, it's a tough time right now, because in the next few weeks, the lovely daughter Allison, congratulations Allison, equally lovely daughter McKenna, they will be, Allison is her first year, McKenna will be her, I guess, Jerry, sophomore, returning to college in Florida.
Breaking my heart.
And Mr. V, I know, man, I have to put it out there, these are two great gals. However, you have the safety valve with the dynamic Crabigail still at the house. Listen, let me tell you, this girl's either going to be a prosecutor that can put, I'd say, how about this? She can be a divorce lawyer that will make $60 million by the time she's 23. She's that dynamic. Jerry, what do you think?
She's vicious.
In a good way, she is. I'll tell you, Vessels, all three of your daughters are scalpel sharp, man. Good job, Vessels. Good job. Let's get to the Doormat Derby, Mr. V. What's happening? Second annual. Go. Tell us about it.
Oh, man, we're excited, Tom. We made some changes, little adjustments, wiggles. We got things dialed in now. Fishing is finally starting to heat up when people can get out. Everything is locked and loaded, man. We got a whole list of big sponsors. Another rocking out band with the Bigfoot Band coming back for the second year. We're just super pumped, Tom.
Hey, listen, Mr. V, I told you we plan to be traveling again that weekend, but if that band can play that funky music, White Boy, I will make the 200-mile trek just to show you my moves on a dance floor. How's that? Is that a dealio? So call the Bigfoot boys, all right? Because, listeners, it will be a scene that you would not believe, and you'll probably have nightmares. Okay, sir, so how many boats? Or what are you guys figuring, 30, 40, 50 boats?
Well, yeah, last year, in our inaugural year, we had 25 boats, which our goal was to have 20. So
Not bad.
Now we hit our benchmark, and we didn't really have good weather, and there was a conflict as well. So now we have a date with no conflicts. You know, fingers are crossed with Mother Nature cooperates a little bit better than last year.
Yeah, that was a tough one, Jared. That was a tough one last year. I remember that.
Yeah, and it happens. I mean, let's face it, every day something happens. So if that's the worst we had to deal with was a little wind, it's still a pretty good day. So with things happening this year, we're looking at, with the date change, we're hoping for 50, 60 boats, you know. Mm-hmm. And we've got the facility. We have everything lined up. We got all our caterers. Catering is by Gem Market in Seaville, which they do an outstanding job.
Ooh, I feel my cholesterol rising already, Mr. B.
they do pretty good. And, you know, some other Fisherman magazines on board.
There you go.
On board. Lund's Fisheries, Mid-Atlantic Canvas, Don Parr from Canyon Reels. He donated some door prizes.
Shout out to Donnie Parr and Captain Don Bavasso at Canyon Reels. They rock. Jerry, they kick butt at your show. At the Wildwood Expo, man.
Woo! CNC Marine, Charles does a great job with the marine welding and stuff. They're a sponsor, and we've got tremendous door prizes. You know, we're the Calcuttas. And one thing that I'm really excited about is we kept the slot fish category for two fish under 20 inches because, let's face it, there's a lot of cookie cutters out there between 18, 19 inches. And last year we did the slot category, which, to my knowledge, we were the first tournament to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We had 14 teams enter a string of slot fish. And between the 14 teams, it was separated by 0.2 of an ounce.
So Whoa.
You know, yeah, and like I said, it was just exciting. It was exciting for me to be tallying this stuff up, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, that's, you know, this is close, like the photo finish type stuff. And it was just a little exciting category for them smaller fish that are filling coolers, but let's face it, in a tournament, they don't have much value, so...
Jerry, let's get into it. When is the captain's meeting? Where's the launch site? What's the launch time? When is the weigh-in time, listeners? And listen to me. With vessels, you cannot be 1 nanosecond late to that. What, you are a Dunsky. So, Jerry, go into the particulars and how much per boat. Go!
All right. The entry fee is $400 per boat, and that includes four dinner tickets. You know, we're allowed five lines in the water at one time, up to seven people on the boat. So you can have seven people, five lines in the water, four dinner tickets, $400 to get in. And that includes your after party, you know, beverages, food, everything else. So captain's meeting is Friday, July 12th at 7 p.m. at Off the Hook Marina, which is our host marina for the event.
Give the location, Jared. Where is it?
It's 989 Ocean Drive.
Gotcha.
It's right next to Lund's Fisheries, who is one of our big sponsors. So people recognize that. It's a world-famous fishery down here, mm-hmm. or commercial fishing spot.
So, Jared, what time does the whole thing get underway? And are there restrictions where you can fish? Are there boundaries? Go.
Yeah, there's a couple things. We do shotgun start. 0630 hours on Saturday morning.
Stop with that military. You're killing me. Vessels, you're killing me. I had to go get a converter.
So 6:30 in the morning, we do shotgun start right at the Cape May Toll Bridge, or, you know, it's right there basically at the base of the Cape May Inlet. 6:30 start. Weigh-in opens at 3 p.m. Weigh-in closes at 5 p.m. If you're not in the creek by 5 p.m., you don't count.
There you go.
If your car is not in the parking lot at 5 p.m., you don't count. So there is really no lines out of the water time. Just weigh-in closes at 5.
There you go, listeners. There's multiple categories. Calcutta's guaranteed tournament prizes, awards, and the after party is going to be a great time, correct?
We have over $6,000 in guaranteed prizes.
Whoa.
We have categories is single heaviest fluke, three fish stringer fluke, the two fish slot fluke, and then largest sea bass. And then there's also a woman's and kids category.
Hey, Vessels, nothing, you know my proclivities, nothing for sea robins?
Nothing for sea robins.
Blowfish? Lizard fish? So you know what I catch.
I know who you are. You're the king of the junk fish.
That's me, man.
Master.
Well, listen, Rack and Fin Radio's contribution is going towards the youngsters category. Are we clear on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because the kids rule, the youngsters rule. That's the future. And when they're fishing or not doing the thumb thing on their phones or whatever, the tablets, whatever, Jerry, it's a great thing you're doing. Listen, Saturday, July 13th, the second annual Doormat Derby. Jerry, one more time with the time of the captain's meeting and the particulars, contact number, Facebook, what? Go.
All right, captain's meeting is Friday, July 12th. I'm sorry, it's July 12th at 7 p.m. Off the Hook Marina, 989 Ocean Drive. And then Facebook, we don't have a website, but Facebook, we're The Doormat Derby, and you can look us up. All your particulars are on there. You could even download a registration form from there. I sent out a mailer to all my contacts from the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Tournament time is 6:30, shotgun start on Saturday morning, July 13th. Then scales open at 3 p.m. They close at 5 p.m.
food starts around 6.
Oh.
And then the actual party is going to get rocking around 8. And we should be, you know, final award ceremony somewhere is around 10.
Okay, listen, there's the two things that, that may cause an aborted trip. Yeah, I could use that word, right? Where we're going. The food, Vessels mentioned food and the band. Food and play that funky music, White Boy. I don't even need beers to get going, Vessels.
this is what I'm going to do for the lovely Dee Marie. I am going to have the Bigfoot Band, who they rock. They're really a nice band.
I heard of them. Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
I'm going to have them play that funky music, White Boy, and I'm going to FaceTime Dee Marie, and we're going to watch you dance around in the Poconos.
Well, we're going to be within striking distance, but we just have these plans lined up. We've had them for about a year, so we're not going to be able to make it. But yeah. When as soon as I saw the date, I went, Vessels, you're killing me. It was in August last year. You're killing me.
Yeah, we switched it up because of a conflict, and again, I had a conflict as well. The kids are going back to school at the same time, and it's a busy time. That's all.
Well, listen, Vessels, don't let my moves get the people in a frenzy, because they will. Before you know it, you're going to have 3,000 Travoltas out there on the floor.
Or
you got that? Listen, and Michael Jackson, you got that?
From what I
Paula Abdul's got that.
From what I heard, Tom, women get pregnant just watching you dance.
I'm telling you, man. And then afterwards, I have to call the Mammal Stranding Center. Oh, on that note, Jerry, take care. One more time with that phone number and Facebook, please go.
It's 609-377-1617 is my direct number. That I'm the tournament director, and the Facebook page is Doormat Derby.
And listeners, 6 months. 6 months, there's going to be the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo at the Convention Center. Jerry, we'll talk about more about that in September, October as a follow-up. You got that, man?
That sounds awesome, Tom. I'm always looking forward to it. Plus, I'm getting Dee Marie out on the boat this year, so...
Hey, you know me. I'll be at the dock with my beers and crab traps. I'm there. And my Italian sub. And Jerry, the best to Allison, McKenna, Crabigail, and the lovely Mrs. V. We'll see you soon, Jerry. Good luck.
All right, thanks. Have a great day, brother.
Take care, man.
Happy day.
Yep. Phew, way long on that segment. That's going to be a great time. Second annual Doormat Derby down there, man. It's going to be a good time. And these Sharpies, there's money involved. These Sharpies, they know how to get their flounder. Be right back to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG. Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, expensive homes are increasing a family's wealth, but that means warnings for the housing market. Also, as the summer travel season picks up, hear when it's too hot to fly. Plus, as work from home remains steady, bosses are concerned about logging fewer hours and therefore productivity. And entering a date's name on your phone means the relationship has gone next level. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
The finest fresh fruit and produce you'll find anywhere? Check. Award-winning gift baskets and fruit baskets? Check. Baked goods and prepared foods? Check. They check all the boxes. BF Mazzio, 601 New Road, Northfield. And that's not all. Gourmet items, specialty foods, and catering for all occasions. It's all right there. Check them out online at bfmazzio.com. That's bfmazzio.com. BF Mazzio, 601 New Road, Northfield.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Yeah, wrapping up with me, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio. Happy 4th of July weekend, 6th and 7th. Hey, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on Talk Radio WPG 95.5 FM. South Jersey's number one rated talk show station. Also on WPG 1450 AM. Yes, AM still rules for us Ulsters. Streaming live on that slot, WPG1450.com. From 7 to 8 a.m., you've been tuned in to 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Go to Apple, Spotify, Modify, all these files. The Rack and Fin Radio message is out there. Wrapping it up, just a little bit of a non-sequitur. This past weekend, or last weekend, I should say, we're in the studio early this week because Lovey Dee Marie and I are going to be away for 4 days. And we stopped at this place for our mandatory milkshake stop on the way back. A little place way up North Jersey. We're coming from a cottage, a cabin, whatever, in the Poconos. Okay, here we go. and we sat down, and there was a newspaper on it. Can I give it a shout out? Humpty's 2, okay, right there. Humpty's 2. I'm not going to say where it's Humpty's 2. And there on the table, it's a cute little country place. There on the table was a newspaper, and I said to my lovely Demir, I said, babe, I said, there's a guy that used to write a fishing column for this, best fishing writer, just one of the best guys. He was the former editor of the New Jersey Federated Sportsman, great editor, and he just retired fishing game. I said fishing game. Worked at the Hackettstown Hatchery for some years. He took that as a second gig. God bless him. I said, his name was Ronnie Jakesman. Just a wonderful man. You know, sometimes you meet these people, just a wonderful guy. Just a wonderful man. Look up who comes through. Now, I hadn't seen Ronnie in 15, 18 years. Again, separated. We were in close proximity sometimes. But I'm on a fishing mode or honeymoon, whatever that's it. Who comes through the door with his wife? I looked, I said, Ronnie J. He said, Tom P. And boom, 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 boom. Fast forward. Just a day prior, fast forwarding to now, this very instant, waiting patiently on the line with us right now. Lovely young lady I knew when she was about, I think I met her when she was about 8 or 9 years old. Her dad had a charter boat, Miss Leanne Sport Fishing. Captain Cool Ray Lopez. I gave him the name Cool Ray because he is a cool guy. Now all of a sudden, I call up. I do the Fisherman Offshore Reports. Call up Sunday. Who answers the phone? I said, Ray, did your voice change? Who's this? She said, this is Leanne. Leanne Catherine Lopez recently graduated Miami grad school, a degree or master's, whatever, in accounting. Oh, she's going to be tough, man. She's up in here, Jersey, for a week. She's going to be leaving this weekend to head back down to Florida. One of the greatest people I know. Great. I can still call her a kid. She's like my niece. If I had her great at my age, she's like a great niece. Okay, but one hell of an angler, especially in the salt, all about the saltwater scene. I said, Leanne, you got to come on Rack and Fin for a couple minutes, young lady. Just give us a spiel. How you doing? What's up? What's hot? What's not? And give us a lowdown on some of those badass fish you are catching in Florida. Leanne Catherine, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great. How are you?
A lot, Cocktail Writer. I'm talking to my grandniece here, great-niece, whatever. She did a fantastic segment several years ago on deep-drop sword fishing here on Rack and Fin. Leanne, your dad mentioned sometime back, a few months ago, that you were going to be up sometime early summer, and here you are, and it's great to have you on. Welcome back for a few days. How you been?
I've been doing great. Yeah, I'm so excited to be back in New Jersey. We're actually heading offshore today, so I'm super excited to get back out there and hopefully catch some nice tunas.
Listen to me, Lopez. She was like 17. She got her master's, captain's, a million-ton license, whatever, running 50, 60, 65 tournament boats. This kid's amazing. This young lady's amazing. So, Leanne, let's get to the fishing right now. Fish back in Jersey. You got the yellowfin, the big guy. On the overall, compared to the myriad species in Florida, I know you and Gareth Haddam, this guy's badass, set the world record recently for blackfin tuna. They were yabbering with Jimmy Johnson. People know him. Oh, they hate him up this way. Anyway, so comparing the two, what's your favorite gig down in Florida?
My favorite fish down in Florida to fish for is probably mutton snapper and black grouper. It's insane how hard those fish can fight. Like when you get a 20, 30-pound black grouper, your life depends on it when you're reeling it up and trying to get it off the bottom first to get it off the bottom so it doesn't go in the structure. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it doesn't get sharks. So you have like two obstacles, and it's to get off the bottom quickly and then to get in the boat quickly, because the more time it's in the water, the more time a shark can see that like a fish is in distress. And
Leanne, we discussed this. I wanted to talk to you about that for a minute. There's a company out there. I had a gentleman, I think his name was Nat or Nate, whatever, on a couple of years ago. Shark bans. Listeners down here in Florida, especially on the flats, you know, I like my tarpon and my permit and all that. Sharks, especially the hammerheads, they're ruthless. I mean, Leanne, isn't that a problem down here now? I mean, the pendulum has swung so far the other way with the shark protection. It's like a dinner bell. They hear a boat motor pretty much. Yeah. Like, boat, there they are.
They're kind of overrunning the ocean, unfortunately.
Leanne, what about the mahi there? She catches mahi this big. She sent a photo. She's holding, I could barely see the top of her head. She's like peeking around. You can see her, like one of her eyes from the sunglasses. Tremendous mahi down there compared to up here?
I think that the mahi, obviously, like, you have, like, your bigger bowls down there, but it is definitely more rare. I think the average mahi size is larger off the coast of New Jersey because a lot of the dolphins in Florida are just legal, which down there is 20 inches. And then occasionally you get your big bowls, but I think up here, on average, the mahi are bigger.
Oh, that's cool. Good to know. Go New Jersey, man. Mahi around the pots. My first mahi I caught, the guy says, toss that up there where we're fishing. Down here, they're minnows. Up there, they call them killies. Toss it by that buoy. I said, it's a freaking killie. What are you talking about? I thought we were going for dolphin. I call him dolphin, mahi, whatever. He said, listen to me. You're paying me. Listen to me. Toss it over. I got a 12-pounder. And I said, okay, that's it for mahi. I said, anything to me would be anticlimactic. But, Leanne, on the overall, comparing the fisheries down there, you have the saltwater license. You have up here, you don't. When you're up here, is it strictly a tuna game for you?
It is strictly a tuna game just right now because it's the beginning of the season, and I think it's going to be a really great week of fishing for a lot of people, which is really exciting because it's holiday week, and I think that's awesome. If I come back another time, I really want to go striper fishing with my dad. That's just something nostalgic that we used to do ever since I was six, and you've been doing really, really well with that.
So, Leanne, now tell us about – I'm going to give a plug here down that way. I'm not going to say where – tell us about Miss Leanne Sport Fishing. Miss Leanne Sport Fishing 2? What's the dealio, girl?
Yeah, now we have a
don't be shy. Don't be shy. Come on.
We have a 24 cobia down in Miami that my boyfriend and I go spearfishing on and take our friends fishing. So we're opening up to charters. So if there is anyone that wants to go fishing in Miami, they can definitely give us a call.
Congratulations. Leanne, also, one thing. Have you tangled with, because they, listeners, I had tuna. I caught the yellowfin 67, right. I caught an amberjack once, literally brought me to my knees. Aren't they a badass fish down there?
They are. They're extremely hard-fighting fish. Sometimes when you're wreck fishing, you catch amberjack when you're trying to catch black grouper. And let me tell you, those things, they are like the hardest warm up ever. You catch a couple amberjacks before you hook into like the wreck fish that you want, and I'm just like sweating my ass off. But it's good. It's good practice.
A couple of amberjack, then you fish. I get one amberjack, tie for and a seat, man. A little Cohen in a chair, watch out, and a beanbag, and watch everyone else do it. Well, Leanne, great to have you on Rackathon. Welcome back, even if it's only for a few days. Miss you terribly, because I haven't seen you in so long. Listen, the last time I saw Leanne was a little tackle shop on the island, and she was about 16 or 17 in all business. I said, hey, Lopez, what's your daughter? She ever have a good time? She ever smile? No, Tom P., she's all business. You still have? Well, Leanne, great to talk to you again, and hopefully I'll see you. Let's see. I'm just getting older and waiting to die, so hopefully sometime in the next few years we'll run into each other. Is that a deal?
Absolutely.
You take care, Leanne. Great to have you. And have a good tuna trip. Take care. Hey, and best to Cool Ray and the mom.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll see you later, doll. Leanne, I just go, little Leanne Lopez. Leanne Catherine with a K, Lopez. Man, she was turning heads. She just kicks ass, but just, again, like Ronnie Jacobs, just a great person. Hey, that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Gather and enjoy. Hope you had a happy 4th. And you do have a happy 4th. I should say, again, we're in the studio early. So God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Get out there and enjoy. Hopefully these south winds are abating. 3 straight friggin' weeks. Man, we caught a fluke there at Flannery the other day. That had mittens on their fins. The water went from 73 in the back bay to 54 out front. Mary, mother of God. Hey, anyway, get out there and enjoy. Tom P., Rack and Fin Radio. See you next week.